From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Juneau School District posted new information to its website about how floor sealant was served to students instead of milk. It says that last spring, a pallet of floor sealant was mistakenly delivered to a district warehouse reserved for food at the same time as four pallets of shelf-stable milk. The district did not say who delivered the pallet. On Tuesday, a worker from the district's food services contractor picked up three boxes from the sealant pallet and delivered them to servers at Sit Iti Shanach Glacier Valley Elementary School. Servers poured the sealant into cups and served it to students. Other boxes of sealant were delivered to Harborview Elementary School and Mendenhall River Community School, but those were unopened. The floor sealant has been removed from those schools. The district did not respond to requests for comment about the new information. Meanwhile, the Juneau Police Department says its investigation is still underway.
So we had detectives go there to start talking to people, not in a belief that there was any kind of criminal wrongdoing, because there just wasn't enough information at that time.
That's Lieutenant Craig Campbell. He said investigation results will first go to the district attorney's office. If no criminal charges are filed, the investigation results will be made public, either by the district or JPD. Campbell says the investigation is close to being done. He expects definitive answers and an information release by the end of next week. Candidates for U.S. House who did poorly in Saturday's special primary are reevaluating whether they want to run in the regular election for the next two-year term of Congress. Democrat Chris Constant is out of both. Now that there's a top four in the special primary, Constant says attention will focus on those candidates as they simultaneously campaign for the special general and the regular primary.
The financial interests are going to support one of those, and I think I need to be behind the one who most closely represents my values.
Constant is endorsing Democrat Mary Peltola, who remains in the top four so far. Constant finished in eighth place, according to the latest ballot count. Fifth place finisher Tara Sweeney issued a statement conceding she's out of the special and would meet with her campaign team and supporters to consider her next steps in the regular. Nonpartisan Jeff Lowenfels finished seventh in the special. He says he's not looking forward to another crowded primary, but he's not ready to make a decision.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't be a repeat of what we've got here with 20, 30 people running. Which once again sets up an opportunity where there are no issues that one can debate, where there are no forums. That does not sound like something I want to participate in.
The deadline to drop out of the regular primary is June 25th. 31 candidates are running in that race. Election day is August 16th. On that day, voters will decide who wins the special general to serve the remaining months of the year in the U.S. House. Looking at results from Southeast Alaska, which were tallied Wednesday night, Sarah Palin received the most votes from only half of the districts in the region as voters showed strong support for Al Gross, who was born and raised in Southeast. Mary Peltola from Western Alaska also received more support in Southeast than the overall statewide results. District 33, the state's favorite Republicans, did the worst. The district includes downtown Juneau and Douglas, Haynes, Skagway, and Gustavus. It saw a 30% voter turnout. There, Palin and Begich brought in just 11% of the vote each. Mary Peltola took the most votes at 28%, while Gross received 25%. In District 34, representing Juneau's Mendenhall Valley, Auk Bay, and Out the Road, voters favored Al Gross and Mary Peltola over the Republicans. Gross received 22% of the vote and Peltola 18%. Palin and Begich both had 17%. There was a 31% voter turnout in that district. One of Alaska's largest private COVID-19 testing providers plans to close its public testing sites in the state by the end of June. An official with Capstone Clinic told the Anchorage Daily News that the decision is mainly driven by financial considerations. During the peak of the pandemic, the company operated 21 testing and vaccination sites in Alaska. In some communities, Capstone was the sole provider. State Health Department spokesperson Clinton Bennett told the Associated Press, "Testing is important and available across Alaska." He cited the accessibility of over-the-counter tests and says many industries have incorporated testing into their operations. While large tundra fires in western Alaska continue to burn, fire officials say this weekend they're also concerned about the potential for wildfires in other areas in the state, particularly in interior Alaska. Division of Forestry spokesperson Sam Harrell says interior crews have responded to a few fires in recent days. So far, crews have been able to keep them away from property, but he says the weather forecast for this weekend calls for possible lightning storms.
These have a habit of casting lightning off in areas other than right underneath the cell where it's raining. And it may not immediately strike a fire, but the potential for it to smolder for a couple of days and then come back on a bluebird, sunny day is very real.
Harold says lightning is typical in the interior, but with little rain so far this summer, the forests are particularly flammable. He says crews from Alaska and the lower 48 are on standby.
I hate to say we're waiting for the boot to drop or the lightning to fall, but that's kind of where we're in.
Statewide, there are about 90 fires burning. 13 of them are staffed with firefighters, and the rest are being monitored as of today. The largest is still the massive East Fork Fire that has spread across more than 150,000 acres of tundra in southwest Alaska. Firefighters are also working to contain the Iowithla Fire, burning 9 miles from Dillingham. Like much of coastal Alaska, Southeast relies on barging and freight, everything from groceries to toilet paper. As inflation continues, the region is feeling the pinch at the retail shops and at the pump. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
Lloyd Rice is pulling a chain hoist, getting ready to offload freight from a container van. He's in the warehouse of Hammer and Weekon Hardware Store in downtown Petersburg. He's never sure how much freight there will be until it arrives.
It depends when it just shows up at the Seattle terminal.
These boxes of merchandise got shipped in from Seattle on AML, Alaska Marine Lines, the region's largest barge company. Rice will go through the paperwork and expects increases. Suppliers are charging more.
Sometimes the invoices have significantly increased. Sometimes I say to myself, at some point throughout this inflation going on, the product is not going to be sellable to anybody in the community.
The hardware store sells everything from commercial fishing gear to potting soil to kitchenware. But it's not just the cost of these goods going up. It's getting it here. AML has tripled its fuel surcharge over the past year, raising it to 26%.
Last year, we've seen so many increases.
Standing nearby is Jim Floyd, the general manager for this hardware store, as well as the company's grocery store and convenience store. He says they bring in more food than anything else.
We get charged by the weight. Basically, it's between 30 and 35 cents a pound currently. So you're talking about a 10-pound bag of flour, that's $3. That's added just for the weight, and then you have to add the fuel surcharge on top of that.
The company imports goods on the barge twice a week, filling around 3 40-foot container vans.
The problem is that that's the third increase just in the fuel surcharge, not to mention almost a 5% increase in our rates year over year. So, and people notice it when they go to the check stands, and the cost of everything is so much higher.
Especially the heavy items.
You know, honestly, it's ridiculous how much we pay for water just because of the weight. So when I see people buying cases of water, it's just like I cringe because they're paying just for freight and fuel.
Higher barge prices affect most retailers in Southeast.
There's definitely that ripple effect all across the board.
Angie Flickinger runs a business in Wrangell making body care products like soaps and lotions. She says the cost for some of her ingredients have gone up 20% in addition to increased shipping.
In my business, I, you know, have to ship up like large quantities of raw ingredients. And so just trying to plan all of that and factor in the shipping cost and adjust our prices for that, like that, I'm feeling that a lot.
But it's not just the freight going up. Flickinger lives 12 miles outside of Wrangell and drives into town most days to her manufacturing shop. Gas locally is about $5.50 a gallon. So lately, she's been working at home a few days a week and being more careful about planning trips.
Really, since the gas prices have risen up quite a bit, I mean, we've been kind of staying home on the weekends, too, and not driving to town on weekends if we don't have to.
Gas all over Southeast Alaska is over $5 a gallon at the pump. On June 13th, it was $5.42 in Sitka and $5.63 in Petersburg, which is a 33-cent jump within a month. In the capital city, prices range from $5.23 to $5.70 a gallon. The more remote communities have even higher prices. In Cake, on the northwest side of Kupernaf Island, residents are paying $7.74 a gallon. AML did not respond to requests for comment. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Juneteenth will be celebrated this Sunday. It marks the day in 1865 that Texas slaves learned they were freed. Even though President Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation 2 years earlier, the Texas slaves didn't know it until an Army general arrived to bring them the news. For the Juneau Black Awareness Association, it's a reminder that Juneteenth is a work in progress, a celebration that has been slow to be embraced, even among the black community.
I am embarrassed to say that it's not something I grew up learning about.
Kelly Patterson is a member of the Juneau Black Awareness Association.
I had heard of the holiday. I knew that it was in June. And I knew that black people celebrated it, but I didn't know why. It probably wasn't until President Joe Biden signed legislation making it a federal holiday that I started to really look into it.
That was last year. Although Juneteenth celebrates the end of slavery after the Civil War, Patterson says it's become much more, a day dedicated to the dream of equality and justice for all, one that deserves recognition as a national holiday.
Whether you're black, white, no matter your race, that's the day that America decided to do the right thing. And I think that that is a beautiful thing.
Patterson hopes Juneteenth will become like a second Independence Day for the nation. People in Juneau are invited to the Black Awareness Association's Juneteenth celebration at Twin Lakes Park on Sunday. There will be speeches and entertainment, as well as hot dogs, ice cream, and sweet potato pies. The event is a fundraiser for the association's scholarship program. And finally, let's take a look at the National Weather Service forecast for the weekend. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 50, southwest winds to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny, highs in the mid-60s, east winds to 15 miles per hour. Juneteenth, Sunday, rain, highs around 60, southeast winds to 15 miles per hour. Latest weather conditions at Juneau International Airport, 74 degrees, a few clouds. And that is it for the KTMO News Update for Friday, June 17th, 2022. We'll be off on Monday observing the Juneteenth holiday. We'll be back on Tuesday. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.